League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul? What's up, Paul? Most interactive show, and I really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
Here's the pitch. Swing, and there's a drive. Sack to right. Back it goes, and that's a walk-off shot. A walk-off shot. Good. Has done it with a three-run blast in the bottom of the ninth, and Houston pulls it out 8-7. Holy cow!
Holy cow indeed. The Astros have a 1-0 series lead on the Seattle Mariners, thanks to Yordan Alvarez taking that bad boy to right field. It's the first walk-off home run by a player with his team trailing by multiple runs in Major League history. I could not believe that. It is 2022. How long has baseball been played for? That hasn't happened before.
I also saw it's the first homer that took a, with two outs, that took a loss to a win, a deficit to a win, since Joe Carter's home run in the 90s.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking
30 years of playoff baseball?
Yeah, like 92, 93.
Yeah, I think it was 93.
Yeah. Man. I think Joe Buck was on the call for that one, too, which is pretty crazy to think of that he had been calling baseball playoff games for 30 years. How many of y'all missed Joe Buck listening to the broadcast last night? I'm curious. There's got to be some of you out there. Or do you all just hate Joe Buck because it's cool to hate on Joe Buck? Interesting comment was dropped in the Twitch before we turn things back to you. Twitch.tv/ESPN975 on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, the Paul Gallant Show. E315 says, I know the dude who caught the Yordan ball. He's a hell of a bass fisherman. My question is, how much would that ball go for? I mean, it's got to be 50 grand, right? I mean, that's a playoff winning home run. It's the first walk-off home run by a player with his team trailing by multiple runs in Major League Baseball history.
Was there anything left of that ball? Because Yordan demolished it.
It's a good question. I mean, shoot, lefty on lefty, and he pulled the bleep out of that thing. He killed it. I don't know. I don't know what that would go for, but I actually am curious, and I hope that our favorite bass fisherman is a, one, listener, and two, that he gets that money. Where does this rank all time among Astros walk-off wins? You obviously had the two in the 2019 ALCS against the New York Yankees. You had Carlos Correa in game two, you had Jose Altuve in game six. You saw a couple of other walk-offs. This walk-off single by Alex Bregman, game five of the 2017 World Series. You had the walk-off hit of in the 2017 ALCS where Carlos Correa, he hits it into the gap. Jose Altuve slides in and to home plate. You have, of course, 2005, the first World Series appearance for the Houston Astros, game four of the 2005 National League Divisional Series, where the Astros won in 18 innings, 7-6 over the Atlanta Braves. It was Chris Burke hitting the home run in the 18th inning.
I think it's above the Chris Burke one, but that I forgot about that. That one is pretty high on the list.
That was a long-ass game. 18 yeah. innings.
Against yeah. the Braves, too.
That one's got to be up there. Jeff Kent in the 2004 National League Championship Series, Game 5, hitting the walk-off home run. And you have a couple from 1998, where it's Bill Spears hitting a game-winning single against the San Diego Padres. Padres went on to win that series. You have a couple in the 1981 and in 1981 in the same series against the L.A. Dodgers. And you also had a 1980 NLCS walk-off win against the Philadelphia Phillies. Where does that one rank? I know I'm listing a bunch that I haven't actually seen. For me, that's probably the best Houston sports moment I've seen in person. It's not like there's been that many for me. I did get to go to Game 6 of the 2017 American League Championship Series, and I sure enjoyed the hell out of that. But to see a team come back from down 4 runs against an upstart Seattle Mariners team the way that they did, and for Yordan to walk it off against a guy who's won a Cy Young before, even if he was coming in relief and had a rough year, man, I'm having a hard time thinking of something that tops that, at least in my own brief experience here in the great city of Houston.
I would say Altuve Game 6 against Aroldis Chapman to take him to the World Series, which is the playoffs, to take him to the World Series in 19. I would say that ranks higher just because of like the scope of it, where it's like against the Yankees, Game 6, now you're in the World Series. So I would lean that one. And it gave us the legendary gif of Chapman just kind of staring, half-smiling off into the distance.
Oh, that part.
I think the Yankees one, even the Game 2, I think it was, Correa walk-off, that has a little extra stink on it just because it's the Yankees. It's a little bit more fun.
That's a very fair point, Sean. And honestly, if I have to hold these up next to one another, it's I was there for one, it was the Yankees for the other. The petty, hateful side of me, it has to pick the Yankees one. Just have to. Chris is jumping aboard. 713-780-3776. Chris, what's going on?
Hello?
Chris.
What's good, Paul? Hey, man, I just want to know how you really feel, you know, about that game. Because I had a scenario for you and how I thought it went down. You had the Mariners. Your wife was out of town, you know, on vacation. That's the Astros having the 5 days off before the series. The Mariners, you know, your side piece is flexing their body. Oh, yeah, I'm coming in hot. You know, you with your side piece, and she's telling you, oh, look, I'm better. Started the game, puts on some runs early. Telling you, look, I could do this. Then you're defending your wife, saying, oh, well, look, she's a really nice woman. That's a fun couple. Then your wife says, look, she can do that. I can do this better. Then the bottom of the ninth comes in. She comes home early from the vacation, busts down the door, catches y'all. And she hits a fucking walk-off home run.
Can't say that one. But you know what, Chris? The story was great up to the swear. It was fantastic. Look, the way I felt during that series, during that game, I wasn't 100% sure how the emotions were actually going to handle themselves. But I found myself jealous and petty when the Mariners started doing good things. Because I was like, well, I'm not there anymore. They're not allowed to do this when I'm not there. Are you serious? No one is allowed to have good things except for me. That's it. And when Julio Rodriguez is at second base, and I love Julio. I really do. I think he's a great guy. I think he's a hell of a player. When he hit that double and he's at second base and he's pointing at the dugout as they are tattooing Justin Verlander, I remember thinking to myself, no, they don't get this. This is not theirs to take from me or the Astros, but more importantly, me. And I saw some people texting on the Seattle chat line, and this is how I always operate as a man who has always rooted for damn good teams. I guess I identify as a winner. Humble brag, flex. When I was a Patriots fan, I would never talk trash until the very end. Because you know, you just got to keep quiet until the final score, and then you can throw all those words back in these people's faces. So I stayed silent on a cell phone that I had recovered and wasn't actually able to text anything on either for a very long time. I just stayed quiet. Everyone's like, yeah, bleep Houston on this Seattle sports group chat that I'm in. I don't say a word. Quiet as a church mouse. But you could actually see on Twitter, Akalod says what I sent them on the line right as that game ended. Got a little video of myself with everyone freaking out behind me. And I just said, welcome to the real playoffs, and winked. They wanted to kill me. To the point where I was like, you know what? Maybe we don't stay in this group chat any longer. Maybe we stay away. But I felt all the feels that I have missed for a really long time. I like being a cocky bastard of a sports fan. I like being a total a-hole when it comes to rooting for a team that I know is better than everybody and continuing to rub people's faces in it. I suppose I'd make a great Yankees fan or a Duke fan, too, if I really wanted to embrace the inner heel that I have. But there's nothing better than rubbing someone's face in the fact that they can never have this. There is nothing better than it. And look, maybe Seattle will get it eventually. They are a damn good team, and that was a great first game, and they do have a day to maybe get over it. If they were playing game two today, I think the series would be close to done. They'd be going back to Seattle up 2-0. I really don't know what's going to happen in Thursday's game because Luis Castillo's a damn good pitcher, and the Mariners are clearly confident in their hitting, and they just beat the hell out of Justin Verlander. But there's nothing better than this. There really isn't. And I hope that every single one of you is enjoying every single moment of this. And I'm sure you are. This has been the best run of sports in this city's history. I don't think it's debatable. I know the Rockets have the two titles back to back and that the Astros have only won one of those titles. But you consistently have faith that this team is going to make things happen at all moments of a game, even when they're down 4 runs in the eighth, even when they're down 2 runs in the ninth. And honestly, I feel a little guilty for having lost that complete and absolute faith that I've had in that team following them over the last couple of years. I had it with the Patriots always. I lost it with the Astros for a second. It's so good to be home to embrace a moment like that, though. I enjoyed the hell out of it. If you were at the ball game, I hope that you had a great time, too. 713-780-3776. If you have any thoughts on what you saw in yesterday's 8-7 victory by the Houston Astros over the Seattle Mariners, what are you most excited about moving forward in this series? Because we saw a lot of great performances from guys not named Yordan Alvarez. But first, I got to tell you about my friends at TGS Insurance. Guys, if you own your home, you got to listen up and grab that phone. Our friends at TGS Insurance are about to deliver you big savings, and you don't even have to talk to an agent. You know you're paying too much for your home insurance, but you don't shop for better rates because it's a huge hassle. It's not a hassle anymore. Thanks to TGS Insurance, they've built a new system that instantly shops over 3 dozen carriers and gives you a full quote in just 15 seconds using nothing but a single text message. And you'll probably save a bunch of money. So take your phone right now and text the word money. That's M-O-N-E-Y to 232323. Their system's going to ask for your address. You send it back and you'll get your free quote and full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. This company and the savings are legit. Look at their online ratings. Nearly perfect. And their average customer from 2021 is saving over $870 on their home insurance. No one likes to shop for home insurance. No one really likes to shop for anything. But TGS makes it the easiest it's ever been. You're one text message away from massive savings. One more time, text money to 232323 and get your home insurance quote and save big today.
ESPN 97.5.
Locked in with the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
The pitch coming. Swinging a high fly ball driven deep to left field. This one is way, way back. And that ball's gone into the Crawford boxes by Yuli Gurriel. That'll make it 6-3.
What's in that cup? Purple stuff? Anyone vibing with that after the game? It's illegal. Don't admit it. I'll be your lawyer in that moment. Most interactive sports talk show in Houston, 713-780-3776. Here are a couple of things to get excited about moving forward before we move to the phones. I thought Dusty Baker did a good job, first off, putting a lineup together, though I do have some questions going forward about Jeremy Pena in that two spot. And two, making, I thought, some pretty ballsy decisions late when it came to pinch-hitting David Hensley, especially for Mauricio Dubon. I mean, you're going to have to figure out what the hell was going on in the outfield had you made it through that inning and it's a tie game. Nope. You don't have to worry about that issue. There are some questions I know on the Twitch about the way that Dusty used some of the relief pitchers. Think about it from this way, though. No Ryan Pressly. No Ryan Stanek. I mean, in a game where you were trailing, you used Christian Javier, who I thought had a phenomenal at-bat against Julio Rodriguez where he struck him out. I thought I thought it was really impressive. It's a shame that Javier gave up the home run not too long later. Was that the J.P. Crawford home run? Whatever the case. No, wait, hang on. J.P. Crawford had the home run against Verlander. I forget who the last home run was.
Suarez was the last one.
Eugenio Suarez. Thank you very much, Sean Mapes. I thought Javier looked very good until, of course, that home run. But afterwards, you know how I feel about Rafael Montero, and he almost did give up a home run to Julio Rodriguez, but he did what needed to be done. And Hunter Brown, credit to him. I mean, it wasn't a dominant inning by any means, but, I mean, he's got some big league stuff. And those young guys out there, Peña, Hensley, and Hunter Brown, they were not scared of the moment. They looked like they belonged with the rest of that team, and that's what you're hoping for. Yuli, what he was able to do, you got to be excited about that. Three hits in the game. And the Mariners' bullpen, which statistically has been very good, does not seem particularly unbeatable. Paul Sewald, I mean, that's their best guy. Didn't look very good.
Also, pulling him when he hadn't actually given up a run yet, that's the overmanaging claim that gets thrown, because he gave up, what, a single and a walk.
That's a good point, Sean.
And got two outs.
If you're him going forward, do you feel like they have your back?
Not yeah, you're really. On a super tight leash.
Yeah, and they brought in Robbie Ray, who promptly gives up a home run.
And stinks.
Yeah.
Against the Astros. He's not good against other teams, but he's like the worst pitcher in baseball. He has like an 11 ERA in the regular season against the Astros.
He has been awful of late. So we'll get to some of your Twitch comments, twitch.tv/ESPN975, some of your texts too. But back to the phones on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. It is the Paul Gallant Show. Let's go to Rob. Rob, what's up?
Hey, Paul, maybe this question's already come up, but why didn't Seattle walk Yordan?
I asked,
two men on base.
It's a great question, Rob. I asked Joe Madden that, and Joe is basically saying, well, the analytics people don't want you to do that. I don't get it either. If you take a look at the numbers that Alex Bregman has, too, against Robbie Ray, I mean, they're not great, you know? And Bregman against lefties this year, not great, you know? I mean, you're not feeling great about going up against a guy who just hit a clutch home run the inning before. That's for sure. But pick your poison. Yordan has been on a tear the last month of the year, and Yordan hits lefties really well. I really cannot think of a rational reason to put a starting pitcher, even if he's had some relief appearances over the course of his career, in that spot. Like, you can't defend that if you're Scott Service, manager of the Mariners.
Yeah, I think pitching to Yordan isn't the worst idea, but pitching him with that guy is the worst idea. Pitching him with bringing in Robbie Ray to face him. It would be one thing if Robbie Ray was already out there and he left him in one batter too long. But no, his plan was, it's Yordan, it's Robbie Ray time. And I do think that the home run by Alex Bregman in the inning before, I think that was the protection that Yordan needed to not get walked, essentially.
Virginia Buttonweed says, you don't walk him because you'd have put two guys in scoring position. Ultimately, you're trying to get one out, you know? It's not like there was one out. There were two outs. Get the one out. I think there's a certain point where you should just be saying to yourself, we're getting the out, and you have a better chance at getting an out against the worst hitter. That's at least the way that I look at it. But this is also the same guy who, when he played MVP baseball, instead of intentionally walking guys that were good, he would intentionally hit hitters that I thought were dangerous.
Oh, well, I mean, that's everyone.
Yeah, it's way better than
video game baseball.
Walk.
Yeah, because you have to learn how to do the intentional walk button. Just hit them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You have to wait through the four pitches, too. No, I'm going to throw at Alex Rodriguez's head. That's what I always did. Maybe you get a little charging of the mound. You get him ejected. Come on. Why not?
It feels like you're playing slugfest baseball, MVP baseball.
This was MVP baseball. 713-780-3776 is how you text, and you can join us on Twitch, too. twitch.tv/ESPN975. And Fuentes Respector brought up the point about, as he calls, Stressley, Ryan Pressly, and Stanek not pitching. But you burned Hunter Brown, Abreu, who looked very good. Abreu, I haven't talked about him yet today, and that's my bad. Abreu stepping in that spot was big. You felt like you were on the ropes, and you put in a guy like Abreu. I'm not going to lie. I figured the Mariners would score at least one more run off of him. And he held things down. Javier looked good until that home run. The Mariners, top of their lineup, they are hot right now. And they definitely deserve credit because every single one of them contributed in some way, shape, or form. Of course, Julio, my God, that guy is terrifying. The triple, the double, he goes first to third after the walk. He's a hell of a player. I mean, that might be someone I consider intentionally walking, but do you want to intentionally walk someone to lead off a game, you know? That's a little bit tricky. You could join us on Twitch again. ESPN 97.5 is the Twitch handle. I can't say that. You know what? You guys are sneaky bastards with some of your handles. Oh gosh. And he's had another one before, which is just as bad. I know exactly who this person is. I was about to cry thinking Verlander may have pitched his last game as a Stro with 10 hits, 6 runs. He sat down. You bastard, trying to sneak that one in there. Oh God. You can get after me on Twitter too. At Gallant says 713-780-3776. DB713XO on Twitch says, I want Vasquez over Maldi. You are preaching to the gosh darn choir. I've been hoping for that for all time. Right? Martin Maldonado is a professional defensive hitter. Wait, not a hitter, defensive player. His name's Machete. Woohoo! Did you see the time he had the Mugatu haircut? He's a really integral part of the Astros clubhouse. Or just put in Christian Vasquez, who has clutch hits. And by the way, had a hit last night. Had clutch hits in Boston. Vasquez hits in the playoffs. He needs more playing time. I hope that he is in the starting lineup in Thursday's game. If you're only going to roll with two catchers, you got to get your Vasquez money's worth. Or put him at DH, too. Jeez. I think with Mancini right now, I think you gotta sit him down. You just have not gotten anything out of Mancini since like the first couple of games. And that's been, I mean, hindsight is 20/20, but that has not been a very good trade for the Houston Astros to this point. Both the trade deadline moves outside of the Vasquez one, who they barely use, haven't really looked good either. Because I mean, Will Smith didn't even make the division series roster. Chip wants to weigh in on the Astros at 713-780-3776. Chip, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Yo.
Hey, I just wanted to get in and ask you what you think of the move to put in David Hensley instead of Mauricio Dubon. I thought that was very bold of Dusty.
You know what's crazy?
I think that was gross, showing that he didn't hold on to the Dubon hype and, you know, putting Hensley a big walk, and that kind of led to how that game ended. So I was wanted to get your input on that. Which I didn't expect at all.
You know what, Chip? I don't think anyone did. And that is where I give Dusty Baker the most elaborate of hat tips. It's very rare that Dusty Baker does something that all of Twitter is calling for. And it's like he went to the internet comment section to make that decision. I saw at least 6 people saying, next time Dubon's up, you got to put in David Hensley. And that was a stressful at-bat, but damn, it was an impressive one. And I think Hensley maybe deserves a day playing in the field. Do you have the balls to start him one game? Do you have the balls to put him in somewhere? I want to see more Hensley, that's for damn sure. Is he just a pinch hitter? Is this too big of a spot for him? Where do you put him? That could be a little bit tricky. I mean, are you going to try to put him in the outfield somewhere? He's big, but do you feel good about that?
I think having him as the pinch hitter is kind of the, I think that's the move. He's the guy that comes in for Maldi, or he bats for Maldi, and then Vasquez.
Would you have him DH instead of Trey Mancini, Sean?
I'd have anyone DH instead of that.
Honestly,
guy.
I feel like, you know what? If we can get Vasquez into the catcher spot, and here we are once again after, I thought, a pretty good day for Dusty Baker questioning Dusty
yeah,
Baker's
we're
decisions.
Backseat managing.
Yeah, we are the killer bees right here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're in the
kidding.
Hive.
Yeah, you're in the hive right now. What up, H-Town? Hey, how's it going? I'm just kidding. I agree with a lot of the questions that they have had about Dusty Baker in the past, but Just an idea. Just something I'm floating out there. You put Christian Vasquez in behind the plate. You put David Hensley in a designated hitter. I mean, he's got to, by default, give you more than Trey Mancini. He already has. 713-780-3776, 713-780. ESPN to call in, to text in. You can tweet me, at Gallant Says. Coming up next on the Paul Gallant Show. Okay, I mean, if you're Scott Service, what are you telling anybody right now? Maybe we'll even do a little Mariners watch to play, to be a little troll, First, though, I got to tell you about my friends at BUSR. BUSR.com/ESPN is where you go to sign up. You put down some money, you will double your deposit within the first 24 hours. Don't you want to gamble on the Houston Astros to potentially, I don't know, make things a little bit more exciting? Maybe there's another team out there that you're thinking about. Maybe you want to bet the under on amount of future at-bats for Trey Mancini. You can do it all. BUSR.com/ESPN. They have a prop builder. You can bet on college football, professional football, baseball, basketball, horse racing, roulette, blackjack, whatever you want, they've got it. And again, if you sign up today at BUSR.com/ESPN, you'll double your first deposit up to $1,000 within the first 24 hours. What are you waiting for? Sign up to play today to win today. BUSR.com/ESPN.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
I don't know how you bounce back from this one if you are the Mariners, though you do get the extra day of rest after the day of rest before this day of rest that you had going from, you know, Saturday to Sunday to Monday to Tuesday. But, man, you're up 7-3 on the defending American League champions. And to be quite honest, your regular season daddy of about 7 years in the eighth inning, Bregman goes yard, Yordan goes yard, the game is over. Mariners manager Scott Service was asked what you can do to shake this one off after the game at the postseason press conference.
Yeah, that's a tough one. There's no question about it. I thought we played a very good ball game today. We did a lot of great things offensively. Certainly we got on Verlander early in the game and did exactly what we needed to do there. But as I talked early about it and our team about it, it's like a heavyweight fight. You know, you're going to get punched, and it's how you respond in those moments, and that's a tough one. And today I thought we had it in hand. You got to give them credit. Certainly they've been in this spot many times before, and you don't quit, but they got some huge hits late in the game against some of our better guys. So we will respond. These things happen throughout the course of the year. And we talked about it coming into the playoffs. You are going to have games. You're going to have moments where it doesn't go your way. And, you know, we will respond accordingly tomorrow. We'll get after it again.
If you're a heavyweight, okay, yeah, you're going to encounter some punches. But, I mean, this is the equivalent of Rocky and Rocky 3, if we're going to make the fight comparisons. You know, the movie where no one blocks at all. Where, as that fight goes along, Rocky is just saying, yeah, hit me, hit me. I mean, that was the Astros at the end. And, I mean, the Mariners gave them their absolute best punches. They have the eye of the tiger that maybe you thought the Astros didn't have. And you can say all you want that there were some good things that happened in this game, but it's a young baseball team that played an incredible game, and it was all for nothing. I think the Astros know how to maintain a level of composure after a victory like you saw yesterday. I think they would have felt the same way had they somehow blown a massive lead. That's something I would trust them to move on from. This is a real crossroads kind of moment for the Seattle Mariners. Are they going to end up meeting their Uncle Charles at the end of the crossroads? Are they going to be lonely? Bum, bum, bum. Scott Service was also asked about the decision to put Robbie Ray in relief, specifically against Yordan Alvarez.
It was something, going into the series where we were at, looking at, our rotation and where we're going to head and, talking with Robbie about, using him out of the bullpen as a bullet, so to speak, for that type of scenario. Bringing in the lefty against Alvarez, although, Alvarez is one of the better hitters in the league. But, we talked about it coming into the series. We talked about it pregame today. And I looked at it in the seventh inning and said, hey, this could happen. So that was the plan going in. End of the day, you have a plan. You still got it. We got to execute it. And, got to give them credit. Tip my hat. It's not easy to walk up there and do what he did today. But he's one of the best hitters in the league, and he showed it today.
Sure, it was a plan. Some plans are bad. That simple. He mentions Alvarez being one of the better hitters in the league. How about being one of the better hitters against lefties in the league? And maybe the best lefty-on-lefty hitter in the league. I mean, he's hitting like 321 on the year against lefties. There was no world where that was a good decision. Why not leave Seawald in? I mean, use Robbie Ray in a different game. This one didn't make any sense to me. It really didn't. And I know hindsight's 20/20. Whatever. That was a bad plan. I get it. I'm not the baseball expert here, but let's put in the guy who has sucked for the last month in a critical spot against the best hitter on this team this year. That'll work out. I'm sure. It's going to be fine. One of Yordan's hands is hurt. He's not going to be able to crush it out of the ballpark, even though that's what he's been doing for like the last 2 weeks. A dumb decision. And I think that might be more difficult to overcome if you're a Mariners player. Not bouncing back from blowing a 7-3 lead. More so, it's, shoot, this is our guy in charge. Having the faith in him as a young team, I'd be questioning him. I think anyone who has pitched on that team and has hit on that team has seen Ray's struggles of late, and they're like, wait a second, what has he done to merit that opportunity? I mean, if we're talking about a meritocracy or something like that, Ray is a guy that, a lot like, what, Marco Gonzalez and Chris Flexen, who were surprise non-invitees to the Mariners American League divisional roster, like, that's the kind of thing that... you might be thinking about, like, why did he get to make this team after how he's been playing of late? Who cares about his bleeping Cy Young Award? How are they feeling in Seattle? I don't know. It might be time for an episode of Mariners Watch.
Mariners Watch.
A radio show host in Seattle called Paul Gallant.
2022. October 12th. I killed myself last night.
And that's Mariners Watch 2022. That's it. I don't know how you bounce back from this as a fan. If you're a player, understandable. That city is so beaten down by the lack of success of their baseball team. Seriously. They are not a fan base that can handle it. I think when I posted that video that I sent to the Seattle Sports chat line, welcome to the real playoffs, because these are the real playoffs. The wild card does not count, okay? Can we be honest here? They're like cute little play-in games. Cleveland sucks, okay? We saw that from the Yankees last night. Cleveland does not belong in these playoffs. Those wild card teams do not belong in these playoffs. Maybe this will come back to bite me in the keister, if you will. But like, let's just go back to the way playoffs used to be, huh? Where like the two real teams just make it and it's the American League Championship Series right away. It's the pennant. Can we spare ourselves with this stuff? But anyway, I told him, like, these are the real playoffs. And I think I lost like 50 followers last night. They just continue to lose followers on both sides. I'm like, wait, Paul, you're still a bandwagon jumping back and forth between the Mariners and the Astros? How dare you? You were here in Houston for the 2017 World Series. And then people in Seattle are like, Paul, you don't still like us? You're rooting for the team that's better than us now? What? Why? You're not rooting for the team who plays at the flagship station that fired you? What? What is going on? What is happening? Have you been red-pilled, Paul? Anyway, 713-780-3776 to call in. You can text in too. On the text line, 713-780-ESPN, twitch.tv/ESPN975. If you have any final thoughts, they are more than welcome on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show.
You're locked in here with me.
Please send help from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
I think the biggest bummer about yesterday's game, and I saw it in person, it was awesome. My favorite moment ever at Minute Maid Park. I don't know if that'll ever be topped. I mean, that's the first home run that's ever been hit with a walk-off exclamation point at the end of it with a greater than two-run deficit for the team who hit it. Again, this is how it sounded on TBS before I finish my points.
Here's the pitch. Swing and there's a drive. Sack to right. Back it goes, and it's a walk-off shot. A walk-off shot. Yordan Alvarez has done it with a three-run blast in the bottom of the ninth. And Houston pulls it out 8-7. Holy cow.
Holy cow. Wow, what a call. Good job. I was listening to the calls that they had on the national broadcast last night. Baseball misses Joe Buck. I'm sorry. None of these guys belong. I think Dave O'Brien's the guy who replaced the extremely likable play-by-play voice of the Boston Red Sox. By the way, he's a Syracuse guy. I should have O'Brien's back. Nah. The Yankees call featured Bob Costas. It was one of the worst calls I can remember. Do we want to play that highlight too, Sean Mapes? I think we have the audio ready to go. I got to say, like, it sucks not having the local team on the call.
A high drive to right. Back goes Gonzalez. To the wall. It's out of here. Spike Lee loving it. Yankee dugout loving it. Sellout crowd loving it.
I love it.
Quantrill not so much. 4-1 New York.
I mean, the only way that call would have been better was if he pulled a Mike Greenberg transition into, I'm loving it. McDonald's. Get a quarter pounder for $1.99 and a free soda. It's terrible. There's no energy in it. We have this already on the Amazon football broadcast. There is an alternative broadcast. Did you know that? With Hannah Storm and I think Pam Beasley on the call. Wait, not Pam Beasley. Pam Ward. Pam Beasley's from The Office. You know, Pam Beasley.
I like just nodded along because I was like, I've heard that name before. And then it took a second.
The harlot who, you know, is basically flirting with Jim, a coworker, right in front of her fiance, Roy, who, might be a little bit sleazy, but I don't know. Pam Beasley, not a great character in that show. But anyway, there's an alternative broadcast on Amazon. Why can't you still have an alternative broadcast for the playoffs? Like, I get it, the national broadcast, you want to have those guys doing it. But why not have the alternative broadcast doing it? I feel like if you're Todd Kalas and you're Jeff Blum and you're Julia Morales, you want to be on the call of that game probably for free, even if it's not going to be a nationally watched thing or maybe it's less of an audience than you'd have on the local broadcast. It's the playoffs, and all of a sudden you just aren't on the call anymore? It's a weird way to operate for baseball. The NFL, you have national callers for every single game, though it does feel like the Houston Texans have James Lofton on the call for every single one of their games. I think Andrew Catalan traditionally on play-by-play, but that should be an option. I thought that the calls yesterday and all the games were underwhelming, and if you guys didn't like Joe Buck, at the very least, you feel like things matter when Joe Buck's on the call. I didn't feel like any of those moments, hearing them right now, I don't feel like any of them mattered. I'm glad I just saw it in person and all I needed was the crowd at Minute Maid Park yesterday.
I mean, you had Patrick Creighton also doing play-by-play for you, right?
He was doing it on Twitter, though.
I think.
Right, because he was at the ballpark. Patrick and I were there at the ballpark.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're sitting right next to him.
No, I wasn't sitting. Oh, okay. Shut up, Sean.
They split you up?
Sean, I had to stand the whole game. I had the most obstructed view of the ballpark. And far be it for me to whine about going to a baseball game for free, but I'm going to have to find an alternative place to watch the game this time around. Because, yeah, that was not optimal, but whatever. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in on the HRNP listener line. You can tweet out, Galan says, twitch.tv/ESPN975. This is just a damn tough team. Alex Bregman, after the game during the press conference, he was holding his kid for half of the press conference, which I thought was very amusing. He's like, I always wanted to do this, to have a baby at a press conference. He said that right away. It was pretty funny. He explained the Astros' postseason mentality and their ability to win games in different ways.
You know, I think we've been down in games before in the postseason, and the mentality always stays the same. These guys know that it comes down to strictly execution in the postseason. And the more at-bats that we can execute together in a row, the better chance we have of putting together a rally and scoring runs. And one thing our team does a really good job of is swinging the strikes, controlling the zone, making contact. And sometimes you win games in different ways. I feel like we have the best pitching staff in the game. And they've picked us up all year long. And occasionally in there, the offense would score some runs and we'd win games, but it happens in all sorts of different ways. We know that. So we know that we're never out of a game and keep going.
He is right, Bregman is there, about how the pitching staff carried the Astros pretty much all season long. It really did. This was an exception because of the rough day that Justin Verlander had, and we'll see how he bounces back. Justin Verlander, too, weighed in on the Astros' resilience after their 8-7 victory over the Mariners yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, there's just no quit in this team. You know, the lineup, the defense, the pitching. You know, we know we're never out of a ball game. And, you know, I think not to go overlooked here is the first playoff at bat for Hensley and him drawing a walk. Pena's, you know, staying on a slider and hitting it back up the middle. What an at bat that was, you know, from a rookie in a huge, his biggest at bat of his career. And then obviously Yordan, who is one of, if not the best hitters in baseball, doing what he does. So, you know, Yordan's going to get all the credit on this one. But, you know, us here in the locker room, we even after the game, you know, made sure to mention those guys. You know, those at-bats, we're not overlooked here in this clubhouse, and that's what makes this team so special. It's not just one person. It's top to bottom, all guys.
Amen to that. And hopefully Verlander bounces back. But give David Hensley and Jeremy Pena a ton of credit for coming up big where Jose Altuve couldn't. You know, and Altuve will hopefully pick up the slack next time around because that's the best Astro of all time. A couple of comments on the text line. The crowd screaming once that ball took flight gives me chills. Yeah, I felt the same way. I'm not going to lie. As someone who was there, I'm a little underwhelmed with the performance by the crowd. I get it. There were some reasons to sort of be quiet, but it did feel a bit cake-eatery there. Remember what you got. This is something that always drove me crazy when I was up in Massachusetts watching the Patriots. Patriots fans were quiet after they got good. Don't be that. You know, properly lube yourself up before you get to the ballpark before 2:37 tomorrow for game number two.
I will say, it's not doing us any favors that it was 2 p.m. on a Tuesday. That is,
excuses.
That is a very cake-eater crowd that you're getting that can drop everything and go at 2 p.m. on a Tuesday.
Championship baseball town. The cake-eaters have to step up, Sean. The cake-eaters have to step up.
It starts at the top. It's trickle-down fandom.
That's how at least I operated when I was 12. If you're at a game and you're not, if your voice isn't hoarse afterwards, you did it wrong. You did it wrong. But yeah, there were a lot of moments where the crowd seemed out of it. They were pulled back in a couple of times. There are going to be more times where you guys just got to be loud. I will say this about Seattle. They are going to give a lot more of a damn about this because this doesn't happen very often for them. And that place will be absolutely rocking when the Astros go back there. I don't think that's going to be an advantage for Seattle in any way. Anyway, it's time for garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
Ah, I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
This might have been a story had the Astros lost or if the game wasn't as awesome as it was. But remember when we talked about Phil Maton not making the Astros Division Series roster. Let's hear from Phil why he didn't make it.
Following the game on Wednesday, I punched my locker and fractured my fifth metacarpal. Had surgery yesterday. Everything went well. Got a bracket, some screws put in, and yeah, eyeing next year right now.
Why did you punch your locker?
I was upset with how my outing went, and it's kind of a short-sighted move, and ultimately it was selfish, and it's one of those things I hope it doesn't affect our team moving forward.
I gotta say, as someone who has anger issues of his own, who wanted to kill somebody when I found out my phone got pickpocketed on Saturday, like, I was cruising through the crowd looking for someone. Like, I was actually going to be able to find that phone in a crowd of hundreds of thousands of people. But I empathize. Still, though, come on, man. It's the last game of the regular season. It's the Phillies. It's your little brother. Wow, you gave him a hit. Like, calm down, man. This is coming from somebody who has major anger issues. One last one before we hit the road. Jeff Passan versus Ben Verlander is hilarious. Jeff Passan was making fun of Ben Verlander, saying, "Justin Verlander, Justin Verlander, Justin Verlander, just because I'm doing my best Ben Verlander impersonation, in which case, Shohei Ohtani, Shohei Ohtani, Shohei Ohtani, Shohei Ohtani." Verlander responded saying, "Grab a step stool and say it to my face, Jeffy boy," with a picture of 5'9", Jeff Passan's height. Jeff Passan's response, "When you're talking about Shohei Ohtani, you're usually on the knees, though, right?" To which Verlander responded, "When you're asking me for help getting a Justin interview, you usually are too, huh?" This does seem like two guys who like one another. Passan, for his part, apologized a little bit later. I'm not going to lie, I kind of like Jeff Passan. Syracuse guy. But one with an actual bit of bite and isn't some sort of stuck-up cake eater like a lot of the other broadcasters who cover this sport. Anyway, that's going to wrap things up. Killer Bees are next to walk you through an amazing day yesterday. 8-7, the Houston Astros, a 1-0 series lead on the Seattle Mariners. So long, farewell. Thank you for tuning in to the most interactive sports talk show in Houston today. We'll be back at it tomorrow at 10. See ya!
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
When you need to do more with less, Upwork helps you hire fast without the overhead. Find expert freelancers in design, marketing, IT, AI, and more. Never tried Upwork? Now's the perfect time. Spend your first $1,000 and get $200 in credit for your next project. No upfront cost. No long-term commitments. Just $200 to reinvest in what matters. Go to Upwork.com/save to get started. That's UPWORK.com/SAVE. Upwork.com/save.